Hello, and welcome to Safari Conversations, the Singita podcast. Even though we've been around for 30 years, we're relatively new to podcasting. But we are storytellers by nature, and we've got so much to share with you. Alongside our conservation partners, we've been busy exploring and protecting Africa's wilderness. So join us as we unpack inspiring, fun, and sometimes crazy stories where you'll meet our incredible people and learn all about the special places in Africa that we call home. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, please subscribe so you don't miss out on future episodes.
Hello, listeners, and welcome back to another episode of Safari Conversations. My name is Lucy Stoffberg, and I am a field guide at Singida Sabi Sand. Today, we've chosen the Sabi Sand to have this conversation, as it is most known for its leopards. And we're very excited to be welcoming Nikki from Panthera onto our episode today. Please tell us more about your story, how you got into the world of conservation, in particular with leopards, and your work in the Sabi Sand.
Hi, Lucy. Thanks very much. I'm Nikki Baum, and I coordinate the Sabi Sands Leopard Project for Panthera. Panthera is a global NGO dedicated to the conservation of wild cats and the ecosystems that they live in. I've always loved wildlife and wanted to work in conservation since I was a young child. I used to watch all the documentaries on big cats on repeat. And so it was always a dream of mine to be in the conservation space. And ultimately, I chose to specialize in conservation biology, which is a mix of field work and research, as well as strategic conservation planning. So big cats are my favorite, as I mentioned. And I think one of the reasons that people connect so strongly with big cats is that they are incredibly expressive and they have really interesting kind of behaviors and interactions with each other. So it's that social aspect that I think really gets us as well. And they're just fascinating to watch. And so I coordinate the Sabi Sands Leopard Project, which is a long-term study on leopards in the Sabi Sands in South Africa. And the leopards in the Sabi Sands are interesting. The population is thriving, it's well protected, and it's stable and at capacity. But it's also really unique because the leopards in the Sabi Sands are relaxed around vehicles, which means that they can be seen for long periods of time. It's the best place to photograph leopards, but it's also the best place to study them, which means that we can learn about leopards in the Sabi Sands, and we can use what we learn there to inform our conservation efforts in other places where leopards are persecuted and populations are declining.
Nikki, for someone that's spent a lot of time, no doubt, with and around leopards, do you have any particular sightings that you find fascinating or you hold dear as your favorite?
I've been so spoiled with leopard sightings, it's almost difficult to pick a favorite, but I particularly love watching mother leopards with cubs. And so if I had to pick a sighting that jumps out in my mind, I did have the opportunity once on a morning drive to see a mother leopard and her cub, which was about 6 months old, and the mother leopard had killed a porcupine. And she was lying nearby watching, and this young leopard was trying to work out how to eat a porcupine, how to get around the quills and get to the meat, and not having a lot of success. And it was so comical to watch and also so beautiful to watch her watching the cub, but not helping, and just letting it learn and figure it out and, yeah, try and make its way in the world around these sharp quills. Yeah, I love those interactions, those behaviors. So that was definitely one of my top ones.
Amazing. Thank you, Nikki. Something you mentioned was the population densities in the Sabi Sand. And that's something we are quite known for here, is the leopard density. Is there any way that you could expand a little bit or explain to us what that density is and why is it so high in this area?
For a couple of reasons, I think. So the leopard density in the Sabi Sands is about 12 leopards per 100 square kilometers, which is one of the highest for a population in an area that's been systematically surveyed, robustly surveyed. And some of the reasons that contribute towards this would be that there's a naturally high prey base in the area, and there's also great leopard habitat. So there's riverfront area, there are kopjes and outcrops and drainage lines to hide cubs. And so it's the combination of those things, as well as the good site protection that allowed for the density to be high and to remain so stable.
It's definitely a privilege to work in this area and live alongside these incredible cats. And I think our guests can definitely attest to having the absolute privilege to see these leopards in their natural habitat, just going about their business as usual. Nikki, but what we want to talk about today is why are leopards a species of conservation importance, and what is their role in the ecosystem? Why do we need to help save them?
Leopards are apex predators in the ecosystems that they inhabit, and they're highly adaptable cats that can exist in a different range of habitats as well as quite transformed landscapes. And they also have a really broad prey base. So they are preying on species from fish and small birds all the way to large antelope. They also actually scavenge if the opportunity presents itself. Because they're so adaptable and they are typically found in a wide range of habitats and landscapes, and they're really shy and elusive, people often assume that leopards are still there just because they once were, that they are just operating in the background, out of sight. But unfortunately, that's not actually the case. And so sometimes we don't actually realize what's going on with leopard populations because they are very seldom seen in most areas. Leopards face numerous threats today, and they've actually disappeared completely in about 2/3 of their historical range in Africa. And so these threats aren't just affecting single populations, they're actually impacting and devastating leopard populations across Africa.
Nikki, you mentioned across Africa. Can you talk to us a little bit about where the actual range of leopards are? Because that spans outside of Africa as well, doesn't it?
It does, yes. So we focus a lot on the African leopard, but there are 7 other subspecies of leopard, right from the Arabian Peninsula, across Asia, to Russia and China. And in fact, leopards have been lost from about 85% of their former range in Eurasia. So the situation there is really dire. And all of these subspecies are listed as endangered or critically endangered.
Nikki, something I'm quite interested in is what happens with the research? Because we have a very stable population here in the Sabi Sand, but what is the importance of that research? How does that get implemented elsewhere in Africa, and how does that benefit those populations?
When we're designing conservation projects and interventions, we need to understand the conditions that make leopard populations thrive in order to be able to implement successful on-the-ground initiatives. And so things that we can learn in the Sabi Sands, because we get to observe these leopards so frequently and all their interesting, intricate behaviors, we see them mating, we see them with cubs, we see them fighting, because we can learn so much here, we really get a good sense of what conditions are needed to make leopard populations thrive elsewhere. And sometimes it's in really novel ways that we can use what we learn in the Sabi Sands to inform our conservation strategies elsewhere. So it can be anything from using high quality photos with known age leopards to design an aging test that is used in national policy. It could be anything from using high quality DNA samples to inform some of our genetics work. So there are many different ways that well-monitored population like that of the Sabi Sands can be used to inform conservation efforts elsewhere.
Thank you, Nikki. That's fascinating, especially to understand how broad the knowledge is or the research is being used across Africa. So we definitely have a bit of a skewed perception of leopard density in the Sabi Sand because we have this very high density and we have the incredible privilege to view these animals. But sadly, many people don't know that in South Africa, leopards are threatened. We're losing about 70% of leopards in the wild. Can you talk a bit about what is driving the African crisis?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, what you're used to in the Sabi Sands is not what the average person sees or experiences. As we've talked about, it's a thriving, stable population, but that's not the case in most places. Leopards are listed as vulnerable on the IUCN Red List, but there's also a lack of information coming out of a lot of areas, and where we do have systematic surveys in place, where we do check how leopard populations are doing in these areas, the situation is often even more concerning. And the main threats that they're facing, as I mentioned before, typically impact many populations, not just isolated examples. And the primary threats in Southern Africa in particular are a few. They are the depletion of prey, particularly as a result of bushmeat poaching and snaring, And as you can imagine, a lack of food would suppress a leopard population, makes it difficult to grow and possibly even difficult to persist if there isn't enough food. The overharvesting of leopard populations, which is the legal removal of too many individuals or the wrong individuals from a population, that can also have a devastating impact on the leopard populations. And an example of that would be poorly managed trophy hunting. It can have a devastating impact. Human-wildlife conflict, unfortunately, in areas where leopards are forced to seek an alternate prey source, so in areas where the prey has been depleted or where they are regularly coming into contact with livestock, sometimes they do kill livestock, and then there are retaliatory killings by people in those areas. But by far the biggest threat to leopards in southern Africa at the moment is the poaching for skins, for ceremonial attire. Skins are predominantly used for traditional garments by numerous different cultural and religious groups. But up to 800 skins a year might be needed by just one group. So it can be an incredible number of leopards that would be needed to fulfill this demand. So that's by far their biggest threat in southern Africa at the moment.
Those are incredible numbers. Something I'd like to talk about on this topic is you have a project called Furs for Life. And that's something we have on display in our conservation room as well. Could you maybe explain a little bit about what Furs for Life is and what that project aims to achieve?
Our Furs for Life project is an amazing one. In its essence, it aims to reduce poaching for leopard skins by providing synthetic fur alternatives for these different cultural garments. And that's done in collaboration with the groups that are using leopard skins in the traditional ceremonies. And it's wonderful to work with some of these groups who are very conservation-minded and to work together to build a culturally sensitive solution that observes the historic practices, but also at the same time protects leopard populations. And so the Furs for Life project started working with the Shembe Church originally and has subsequently expanded to include additional groups, for the most part, who have approached us, who are conservation-minded and want to be involved with this project, where they can honor their traditions but replace the authentic leopard skins with a synthetic alternative. So it's a really neat example of, it's almost a one-for-one. So for every synthetic fur that we sell or donate or is given to these groups, that's one leopard skin that wasn't used.
We can see definitely that, you know, these animals are facing risks from all sides. It's definitely a multifaceted problem. And what are some of the other challenges you face when it comes to protecting the species? What projects are Panthera currently working on for leopards, in addition to the Furs for Life project?
One of the biggest challenges we face with protecting leopards is actually understanding where leopards are being poached. So it sounds a bit silly, but it's a cryptic activity, and it happens out of sight for the most part. And so it's difficult to tailor conservation or anti-poaching interventions if you don't actually know where leopards are being poached and which populations to target. So we are busy sourcing funding for a new project that uses DNA forensics to trace the origin of poached leopard skins, which will allow us to actually pinpoint important sites for intervention. And that will be a real game changer. Another challenge we have is simply monitoring leopard populations, understanding what's happening with them. Are they increasing? Are they declining? Because as I mentioned, leopards are often very cryptic and they're not that easy to monitor or to understand in other areas. And so actually just getting a sense of what's going on the ground is quite challenging. And we have a few projects at Panthera where we address this in southern and west Africa, mostly by surveys using motion-triggered cameras that show us whether these populations are actually growing or declining over long periods of time. Then another challenge is understanding what leopards need, and I've touched on this already, but what influences the population growth, reproductive success, how many leopards can be in a particular area, understanding all those important parts of their biology and their space use. And so to address this challenge, we have the Sabi Sands Leopard Project, where we get an in-depth understanding of these interesting behaviors and processes. And then some of the other projects we've got on the go, I've mentioned the Furs for Life already, and we've also got our Arabian Leopard Initiative, which looks to restore and maintain the Arabian leopard in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. So that's a really important project that we've going on that's outside of our Africa space.
You do really have a very extensive network of leopard spies in the Sabi Sand. I can definitely say I've logged a bit of data for you and collected a bit of leopard scat in my freezer for your next visit. So Singida's conservation partner in South Africa is the Singida Lowveld Trust. One of the biodiversity projects we help support is the Panthera Partnership Leopard Research in the Sabi Sand. Can you tell us how the Singida Lowveld Trust supports you in this? And how can Singida guests support your projects?
So the Singida Lowveld Trust has been fantastic with their support for both the Sabi Sands Leopard Project as well as Panthera's broader leopard program, both financially by supporting our fieldwork and on-site activities, and also by connecting us with interested parties and future supporters, which is so critical. Singida guests or listeners can make a significant impact to our critical conservation initiatives by providing either financial contributions or in-kind donations, both of which are vital to our success in protecting wildcats as well as their habitats. So donations can be made directly via our website, panthera.org, or through the Singida Lowveld Trust project page, or on site at Singida. And we are so appreciative of all and any support that anyone can offer. We really couldn't do our work without it.
We'll definitely link some of those websites to this podcast. But talking about Singida on site, we recently added these conservation rooms. And Nikki, I think you've visited the one in Ebony. And that's where the Furs for Life was the first time I interacted with that, because those coats really are fabulous. They're so beautiful. And humans really have been obsessed with that pattern for a very long time. But I think the conservation room is also really important because it's a beautiful visual representation of the message that we're trying to convey to guests. So when we're out there in the field, I think sometimes it can be quite overwhelming, and sometimes also just taking the moment of silence. But to come back and, you know, I often take guests, whether it's with a glass of wine, and we just sit amongst a lot of the Panthera is up on the walls there, just talking about the data that's been collected and where it's going. But Nikki, what do you think the role of ecotourism is in preserving leopards in South Africa?
So ecotourism can contribute to leopard conservation in a large number of ways, actually. So first and foremost, ecotourism creates sustainable funding that ultimately protects the habitat and the landscape that leopards need to survive. And that's critical. And it also contributes to research like we see coming out of the Sabi Sand Leopard Project, which we use to inform conservation at the broad scale. Ecotourism also connects conservation organizations like Panthera with future supporters and donors, without which we just simply wouldn't be able to operate. And it's an amazing interface for those connections. And when guests visit reserves like those supported by Singida, their conservation fees support anti-poaching efforts, scientific research, and community programs. Guides are also extremely well placed, as you will know, Lucy, to raise awareness of the conservation challenges in a particular area and the threats that leopards are facing. And so by raising awareness and kind of spreading the message further, it informs people as well as inspires future conservation champions, long-term supporters of conservation and species programs like our leopard program that ultimately are game changers.
There is such a great need in Africa and the resources are so limited. What do you quantify as success and where is the hope for the future?
Success is often a tricky one to quantify, but ultimately our goal is healthy growing leopard populations. And so anytime we can demonstrate that we're moving in that direction, whether it's by increasing our understanding of leopards or changing behavior that decreases poaching, then we're happy. And I mentioned our Furs for Life project, and that for every synthetic fur that we put out there, and that's essentially one leopard saved. And if we look at that project alone, there are more than 18,500 synthetic furs produced by Panthera that are currently circulating, which is equivalent of 18,500 leopards that have been saved with that project. So that's something that we can quantify and a huge one for conservation. And I would encourage anybody who is interested in the Furs for Life project to go and watch the documentary that was made about it. It's called To Skin a Cat. It's really fascinating and it is an incredible achievement. But there are other examples as well. So where we change national policy to protect leopard populations from poor hunting practices, that was directly a result of work that came out of the Sabi Sands, for example. That's another huge one. So I think that these successes add up to major differences for the species that sometimes are easier to quantify or not. But in terms of hope for the future, I think as long as there are passionate people working together in conservation, then we've got a chance. And we know that leopard populations can rebound very quickly once threats are removed. They really do respond well if they are just given the space to play out their natural behaviors in a well-protected area. So conservation interventions can have an enormous impact for leopards and quickly. So there's hope for the future.
That's so great to hear. It personally makes me so happy, but I think for conservation in general, it's just wonderful to hear. As a child, one of my favorite books was a book Jane Goodall wrote, and it was Reasons for Hope. And one of the things she said is, it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. And I think when we speak to people like you, Nikki, or we hear about projects like Panthera, that really is like a candle in the darkness. And it's just so wonderful to have spoken to you today and to hear about all your amazing work. Thank you for making the time for us. Thank you for the critical work that you do, not only with leopards, but all 40 wildcat species around the world.
Thanks, Lucy, and thanks so much for the opportunity to chat to you about leopards and about our conservation work and for all Sangeeta's support.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us on this episode with Nikki and Panthera. You can see more details on the Panthera website, panthera.org, or at the SangeetaLowfeldTrust.org. We will add the links on the show notes for you, but just want to thank you so much for joining us and look forward to having you next time.
Thank you for listening. If you want to follow other episodes of our podcast series, Safari Conversations, please follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcast from or on our website at sangeeta.com.